According to hard data, the surge in homelessness in recent years is a result of one major force. People simply cannot afford a place to live. I'm David Brancaccio in Los Angeles. First, the deal to raise the debt ceiling hashed out by President Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy faces its first big test today, where, to go forward, it would have to make it past the House Rules Committee. Marketplace Washington reporter Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
The House Rules Committee sets the terms for consideration of a bill. Some Republicans on the panel have already come out against the deal to raise the debt limit. The House is expected to vote on the agreement tomorrow. If approved by the House, it'll go to the Senate, where it also faces opposition. Democrats say it pares back spending too much, while Republicans don't think it cuts enough. There are also new work requirements for some people receiving food stamps, and the IRS has to give back some money earmarked for catching tax cheats. A number of senators have already said they'll introduce amendments. If the Senate makes any changes, the debt limit bill has to go back to the House. All of this has to be done before June 5th, when Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the government will run out of ready cash to pay its bills. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The high-profile founder of the Silicon Valley medical startup Theranos is set to report today to federal prison in Bryan, Texas. 39-year-old Elizabeth Holmes was sentenced to 11 years for defrauding investors. Theranos claimed more progress than it had achieved on doing blood tests with a finger prick using devices you might use in a pharmacy. That deal to raise the U.S. government's debt limit, again if approved in Congress, holds spending flat on what are labeled discretionary programs as it limits growth in the federal budget in the coming years. This week here, we're looking at one crucial corner of public policy that housing advocates and people without shelter will argue needs a lot more money. Our focus this week is called Finding Your Place, to explore homelessness from a variety of angles. Let's start with some eye-opening data. Greg Colburn is an assistant professor at the University of Washington's College of Built Environments and co-author of the recent book Homelessness is a Housing Problem, How Structural Factors Explain U.S. Patterns. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let me go through a couple possibilities for how many people explain what's happening with homelessness in America now. Substance abuse, is that the dominant driver?
There are probably three dominant narratives. I would say substance use is right at the top of the list. Poverty and mental illness are probably the other two. There's clear evidence that those factors and attributes increase the risk of experiencing homelessness at the individual level. But what we demonstrate in the book is that is not why our coastal cities have really, really high rates of homelessness.
You've gone through the data. You've gone through the data across the country. And what then would explain it?
Well, what we argue in the book is that access to affordable housing is the primary driver of homelessness. And in places like Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., access to housing is very, very limited, even with people with good incomes. And what happens then is when housing is scarce, it's not available, and it's very expensive, if you're vulnerable in any way, you're poor, you've been discriminated against because of your race or ethnicity, you're physically disabled, you're mentally ill, you're far more likely to experience homelessness. And what we demonstrate in the book is that the reason Seattle has five times the per capita rate of homelessness of Chicago is not because we have more people with vulnerabilities. It's because our housing is really expensive and it's scarce.
Yeah, because when you talk about housing access, let's just be clear. You're talking about numbers of possible dwellings, but you're also very much talking about supply and demand. You're talking about how much it costs to find adequate housing.
That's exactly right. And one of the more interesting stories that we tell in the book is Detroit, Michigan, which is the most impoverished city in the United States, has far lower rates of homelessness than very affluent communities like Seattle and San Francisco. And the reason for that is that housing is relatively affordable in Detroit as compared to other places.
So, I mean, you've been confronting this data for a while now. I mean, where are you left in terms of the areas that are most ripe for making policy changes that would help this? Is it making it easier to build, relaxing zoning rules and other rules like that?
There's a couple levers that we could pull. One is certainly a regulatory lever, which is we need to think about our land use. And in many of our cities, we have to confront the fact that we've had relatively exclusionary land use in the sense that we've only allowed single family housing on many of the residential parcels in our cities. And that's going to have to change. Our cities are going to have to be denser. We're going to need to go up. We're going to have more people living on each parcel in order to accommodate all the people who are in these cities. We also have to confront the fact that there's a significant segment of the population who will not be able to afford market rate housing. As a society, to date, we've kind of said, well, that's tough. We're going to let the market figure this out because we have such a small program that provides housing to low-income households. And so we need to confront at the federal, state, and local level, how are we going to ensure that there's housing that people can access? And either that is giving people subsidies or it is subsidizing housing that's affordable for people with lower incomes. And the scary thing about that is that's an expensive endeavor because housing is expensive to construct and it costs a lot every month. And so that's a reckoning that we as a nation are going to confront. And to date, we haven't done a very good job of that.
Greg Colburn is an assistant professor at the University of Washington's College of Built Environments and co-author, along with Clayton Page Eldern, of the book Homelessness is a Housing Problem, How Structural Factors Explain U.S. Patterns. Professor, thank you.
Thanks for having me, David.
Our series is called Finding Your Place, New Thinking for People with Nowhere to Live. Also today, we'll look at the Biden administration's plan to end homelessness. End, that's the stated goal. Stream it on demand from marketplace.org if you missed that piece on the air today. Our producers are James Graham, Ali Dalbert-Hansen, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. In Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.